we hold these truths.
This is a program about the making of a promise and the keeping of a promise. This is a program about the rights of people.
You know, it's just like Norman Corwin to resist round numbers or easy categories. The legend of radio, the storyteller who created the intimate one-on-one style of speaking we're so familiar with on the radio, died yesterday at the age of 101. Perfect. No, there's nothing about Corwin that fits into the categories we call news, correspondent, commentator, essayist. To millions who grew up hearing his voice in the 20th century, he was just Norman, that trusted friend on the radio.
The weather over the channel was clear, and the water sparkled with a million facets of reflected sunlight. I looked out of the window at the bright strait and found myself thinking of Paddy Finnegan, the Irish ace in the RAF, who died down there one afternoon. There were thousands of fighters like Paddy lying beyond view with the English Channel across their chests.
Personal, poetic. That's from one of Corwin's one-of-a-kind broadcasts, an imaginary flight around the world on the radio to show how united he believed the post-World War II world should be. Born in 1910, Corwin started writing at age 17 for a newspaper, but he read his stories on the local radio station in Massachusetts, and he never lost the sense that all the various forms merged together. Radio, text, journalism, storytelling, spinning a yarn, history, all about the great story of the human condition. He produced radio dramas for CBS in the 30s and 40s. He created so much that is familiar even today, like
Lord God of fresh bread and tranquil mornings, who walks in the circuit of heaven among the worthy, deliver notice to the fallen young men. The tokens of orange juice and a whole egg appear now before the hungry children. That night again falls cooling on the earth as quietly as when it leaves your hand.
Norman Corwin created that series, This I Believe, that's from the original, and it was reprised on National Public Radio in the last decade.
It comes down to the value of examples, which can be either positive or negative. And it works like this. Because of the principle that a calm sea and prosperous voyage do not make news, but a shipwreck does, most circulated news is bad news. The badness of it is publicized, and the negative publicity attracts more of the same through repetition and imitation.
This I Believe, the words and voice of Norman Corwin there, spanning two centuries. Corwin taught everyone in broadcasting how to do radio, how to tell stories on the air. His influence in radio and television is impossible to overstate. He was the voice who comforted America at the end of World War II. Here he is talking about A Note of Triumph, his broadcast at a moment when the war in Germany was finished, but the war in the Pacific was still going on.
The undying credit, as far as I'm concerned, of CBS at that time, they didn't say, what's your approach going to be? They didn't say, how much will it cost? They didn't say, who's going to star in it? They let me alone. And it was fine to be let alone, but still I had to come up with some subject. And I didn't want to repeat myself. I had done considerable war radio up to that time. And what do you say about an incomplete victory?
It's Norman Corwin talking about his inspiration for what has been called the greatest radio broadcast of all time.
So they've given up. They're finally done in, and the rat is dead in an alley back of the Wilhelmstrasse. Take a bow, G.I. Take a bow, little guy. The Superman of tomorrow.
Norman Corwin's A Note of Triumph. Corwin always took risks, was incredibly fearless live. He understood intuitively how to get people to lean into their radios. His voice so authoritative and trusted that FDR asked him to write and produce a program for the 150th anniversary of the Bill of Rights called We Hold These Truths.
This is a program about the guarantee made to the people of America 150 years ago. A guarantee that has been kept through peace and war and peace and war. A guarantee we call the Bill of Rights.
Norman Corwin, a teacher of what it means to be an American, a teacher of what it means to be a storyteller, a man who had more stories to tell and I was always looking for new ways to tell them. He was on the faculty of journalism at USC in Los Angeles right up till the end. And that's the end of the Norman Corwin story at age 101. Up there in that radio cloud in the sky, I know he's listening and could have told the story much better himself. Joining us now, a radio voice you all know, Bob Edwards, host of The Bob Edwards Show on Sirius XM Radio and PRI. And he has a new memoir called Voice in the Box. Bob, good morning.
Morning, John. Good to talk to you again.
Feelings about Corwin?
Remember at NPR, we wanted that link to old-time radio, and we brought Corwin in. He gave little seminars in the building and also produced a new series called 13 by Corwin that we ran on what was the old NPR Playhouse series. And he also did a cluster of plays about holidays. We used and dropped into Morning Edition and All Things Considered. And I got involved in one about Thanksgiving. So one of my enduring triumphs is that I was directed by Norman Corwin.
Wow, indeed. Bob Edwards
take that
there.
Away from me.
Marianne Watson, also with us, professor of electronic media and film studies at Eastern Michigan University, co-editor of Norman Corwin's One World Flight, the Lost Journal of Radio's greatest writer, personal friend of Norman Corwin's, productive right up until the end, Marianne Watson, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. His astonishing body of work, especially in his later years. Clifton Fadiman, the great literary critic, once said of Norman Corwin, he writes as if he's several men. He wrote that in the 1940s. And he didn't just mean his prolific output. He meant different styles of writing. It's quite incredible. How I wish this day could have been longer delayed, but I guess at 101, it was as inevitable as sunset that we would lose him soon.
Oh. Marianne Watson, professor of electronic media and film studies at Eastern Michigan University, talking about Norman Corwin, who died yesterday at age 101. You know, Ray Bradbury called him, Bob Edwards, one of the greatest geniuses ever to write, direct, or voice on in broadcasting.
Bradbury, Rod Serling, a whole bunch of more contemporary writers worshipped Corwin and were enormously influenced by him. Carl Sandburg called On a Note of Triumph one of the all-time great American poems. He could write in verse. He wrote comedy in verse. He wrote a play about the plot to steal Christmas, a plot to overthrow Christmas, I believe it was. And he did it in kind of Dr. Seuss rhyme. He had so many talents. I interviewed him 5 years ago in his 90s. He still had an older brother 5 years ago.
Man.
You want some of these Corwin genes, I'm telling you. Women were still flocking around this guy. He was tall, slim, handsome. He was charismatic. I just sat there in awe of the guy.
Marianne Watson, last word.
Norman never left his conscience in the elevator. That was his legacy. He taught us that to live meaningfully, men and women need both freedom and purpose. We need a path with a heart, and that is how he lived his life to the final day.
Marianne Watson, professor of electronic media and film studies at Eastern Michigan University, friend of Norman Corwin. Thanks so much.
You're so welcome.
Also, thanks to Bob Edwards, Remembering Norman Corwin, host of The Bob Edwards Show on Sirius XM Radio and PRI. His new memoir is Voice in a Box. Thanks, Bob.
You're very welcome, John.
And, you know, Norman Corwin was one of the founders of the Committee for the First Amendment during
right.
the House on Committee on Un-American Activities, which reminds me of some of the arguments over free speech going on with Occupy Wall Street,
indeed.
Which is something many of you are weighing in on. Like Cody on Facebook wrote, "What good is it to have the First Amendment but no way to speak?" You can give us your opinion at facebook.com/thetakeaway. We are pro-Corwin and pro-free speech,
you know,
here.
Corwin sort of created the whole style of speaking that we call public radio, I think.
In many ways, he absolutely did. I'm Celeste Headlee.
Good night, Norman. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.